Portland City Council will come back to order from our break. Today is 2 p.m. Sorry, it is 2 p.m. Today is Wednesday, November 16th. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Adams.
Here. A quorum is present. We have two items to consider this afternoon, both time certains. Can you please read the title for item number 1238?
Accept report on recommendations regarding the Portland Police Bureau.
And then for the just in case testimony goes and speaks to both, why don't you also read the title, although separate, for non-emergency ordinance, item number 1239.
Establish the authority for the Citizen Review Committee to make policy recommendations directly to the Portland Police Bureau, increase the length of term served by Citizen Review Committee members, and clarify procedures of the Citizen Review Committee in hearing appeals from community and bureau members.
If we could have members of the Portland Police Bureau that will be speaking to this, go ahead and come forward, and I'll make, while I make some introductory remarks. The item for under item number 1238, no votes will be taken on it today, nor on 1239. These are first on 1238, and I believe 1239, this is the first of three hearings on these items. There's a lot to go over here, and there are issues of great public interest, so we wanted to take the time to have the three hearings. These are recommendations regarding the continued improvement of the Portland Police Bureau and the Auditor's Independent Police Review Division. Since becoming commissioner in May of 2010, I've worked closely with Chief Mike Reese and the professional officers who protect our public safety and work to continuously improve the services that the Portland Police Bureau provides to our community. Over the past 3 years, three community-based groups have spent considerable time and effort crafting recommendations to improve operations and improve the public trust and relationship in the Portland Police Bureau's complete handling and internal discipline processes, including the Citizen Review Committee through its Park Report and Structure Review Work Groups, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and the Police Oversight Stakeholders Committee. When the third of a series of reports was presented to the City Council last year, I made a commitment to Portlanders that we would closely analyze and release responses to the recommendations. Today, we are presenting that response to those recommendations. As I mentioned, we're hearing these two interrelated items together for the ease of providing an opportunity for testimony on both at the same time. And now I'd like to invite Chief Mike Reese up to present the draft report recommendations regarding the Police Bureau. Chief Reese.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I've got Lieutenant Chris Davis from our Professional Standards Division with me. Chris helped craft the document that you're looking at and can answer any specific questions you have to it. I just wanted to thank you for hearing this report, and I know that over the last several years, the Police Bureau has been working with our community partners in reviewing proposed recommendations as they relate to the Police Bureau's training, tactics, and policies. Many of the recommendations received came out of tragic incidents involving our officers and community members. These incidents have been critically reviewed through our internal processes, and as in any critical incident, there has been lessons learned. We have released many of the investigations to the public in an effort to be completely transparent. We have listened to the concerns from the community and acted on most of their recommendations. We have implemented recommendations to maintain the integrity and transparency of our agency. As of February 2011, the director of IPR shall be called to the scene of any officer-involved shooting or death in custody. We are also looking at emerging technology in the area of personal and vehicle video cameras for use by our members. This technology has the ability to change policing as it will provide critical evidence for criminal prosecutions as well as supportive evidence for conduct allegations by officers or by the community. As recommended, the internal review process has been strengthened, and our officers have developed a better understanding of the complaint and discipline process through outreach efforts by the Independent Police Review and our Professional Standards Division. I believe these changes will reinforce the cultural shift that's ongoing in our department. Many recommendations focused on the need for better training of our officers. I believe training to be one of the most important components in a learning organization. By developing better tactics through training scenarios in the areas of decision making and de-escalation, we will have officers better prepared for the day-to-day decisions they must make. The Bureau will continue to involve community members in developing our training and our policies. By establishing a dedicated training facility, one of the items that we've had prior discussion with you about, our officers will receive the best training available. Our officers in the community deserve nothing less. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
All right. Initial council discussion. We wanted to reserve the bulk of the time for public comment, so I appreciate the brevity of your introductory comments. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Auditor Griffin Vallade. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and commissioners. LaVon Griffin Vallade, Portland City Auditor. With me today is Mary Beth Baptista, who is the Director of the Auditor's Independent Police Review Division, as well as Constantine Severe, who is the Assistant Director of IPR. So I have had the privilege of being the Portland City Auditor going on 3 years now. And in that time period, I hope I have demonstrated my sincere commitment to a viable and effective system for the civilian oversight of police. While the commitment of the city auditor is important, in our community and in the system created long before I got here, there are three crucial elements that must be in place for its success. Number one, the independence and impartiality of this office. Number two, dedicated professionals in both the Auditor's Independent Police Review Division and the Police Bureau, with the goal of building and maintaining a functioning, credible, and accountable police force. Number three, an engaged and questioning public and an engaged and questioning council. Over the course of the last 20 months, the civilian oversight of police has been strengthened considerably. So let me remind you of how, if I may. The IPR director or a designee is an active participant in administrative investigations of police bureau members. IPR can challenge findings and can send cases back for further investigation. Excuse me. Also, the IPR director or a designee is a voting member of the police review board, which recommends discipline to the police chief and police commissioner. The IPR director or designee attends the scene of officer-involved shootings and in-custody death events. This is significant for the public. It's the first time a civilian observer has been present at the initial investigation of these events to ensure that protocol is followed and to bring greater transparency. IPR can now subpoena individuals and records deemed to be appropriate for investigations or for the outside expert reviews of closed investigations of officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths. IPR's outreach to community groups and partners in improving police oversight has expanded considerably. A couple of examples include the fact that complaint investigators have accompanied Irene Konev, our outreach coordinator, to community meetings to take complaints from individuals in a more familiar and comfortable setting. Also, the most recent recruitment for new CRC members brought in 30 applications from a broad spectrum of the community. Other changes. The Police Bureau now reports to the public twice a year on the outcomes of Police Review Board decisions. Also, IPR continues to contract with outside experts for reviews of officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths. The next report is due out in a few months, although I must tell you that the consultant had planned to complete the report sooner, but two cases were added to the initial scope of this review because of their relevance to the current primary issues under review. One was added at the request of CopWatch, and the other case was added because it closed subsequent to initial scope determination for this particular report. So we think that the upcoming report will be powerful and meaningful to the community because a primary focus is police encounters with mentally ill individuals. IPR continues to provide CRC with extensive support. And to remind you, CRC is a citizen review committee that advises the auditor and IPR. IPR continues to provide CRC with extensive support. The analyst on staff assists a number of CRC work groups with data collection. The outreach coordinator assists the outreach work group and works with CRC members on a variety of projects. IPR managers assist multiple work groups. Two administrative staff, one being the CRC's designated point person at IPR, assists CRC members on an ongoing basis. I have also committed to hiring an outside review of the system changes in 2012, depending, of course, on budget constraints. So as to our purpose here today, we have reviewed and considered the various reports and recommendations submitted to the city from the Citizen Review Committee, the 2010 Stakeholder Committee, and the Albina Ministerial Alliance. We agree with many of the recommendations. In fact, much of what was recommended was already current practice or has since been adopted as practice without the necessity of a code change. Mary Beth Baptista will highlight those particular changes in a moment. The ordinance and code changes before you today reflect community and or CRC recommendations that we agree with, but they require a vote of council as opposed to the number of changes that we made that did not require a code change. So the three basic changes that we are asking for in this ordinance and code change include these. Expanding CRC's authority to make policy recommendations directly to the police bureau. Extending the term of service for CRC members from 2 years to 3 years. And clarifying procedures of the CRC when hearing appeals. So with that, I will thank you and turn the discussion over to Mary Beth.
Thank you. What I've been asked to do here this afternoon is to talk about those recommendations that have been specifically made by those various reports and community groups and discuss what our response to them are. Thank you. Okay. So we have, as the auditor has just discussed, the auditor and the leadership of IPR have reviewed recommendations from reports, and those reports being the Police Oversight Stakeholder Committee final report from September of 2010, the Citizen Review Committee report on the structure of the Independent Police Review, a memo from the Citizen Review Committee regarding their priorities that they would like to advance to City Council for changes, and the Albina Ministerial Alliance. I think what's important to highlight here is that although there have been, as been reported, hundreds of recommendations, many of those would not require a code change. And in the stakeholder committee, there was 41 recommendations. 31 of those were directed at IPR, or the auditor or IPR, but only 19 of those would have required a change in the city code. And 16 of those 41 are already our current, already were our current authority or practice. Recommendations from the stakeholder committee that do require code changes that are before you today, as the auditor has just mentioned, to give CRC authority and permission to make policy recommendations directly to the Bureau, Police Bureau, increase the length of terms for CRC members from 2 years to 3 years, and clarify the authority to present directly to City Council, and this should say, in an appeal, and clarify appeal procedures of the CRC. Now, there are many recommendations in the stakeholder committee report that we have already accepted are implemented through at IPR. And some of those are that we ensure that IPR has and exercises the power to conduct and participate in investigations from time zero of specified serious incidents, including police shootings, deaths in custody, or other serious injury accidents. As the chief and the auditor have mentioned, there in the past 6 months, the standard operating procedure of calling an IPR director or designee to the scene is in place. And in fact, Assistant Director Constantine Sevier has gone out on two, one an officer-involved shooting and one an in-custody death. Require that IPR investigate or actively participate in the investigations of all complaints of those with the rank or captain or higher. That is now the IPR policy. I am currently involved in that in cases such. I can't go into them, obviously, because of confidentiality, but I assure you that there is an IPR director or assistant director that is actively involved, not just assigned, but sits in on the interviews of someone who's a captain or higher. Formalize or mandate what is current practice not to use mediation in serious use of force cases. We will, the protocol committee of the Citizen Review Committee is in hiatus, but when it comes back, which I imagine to be at the first of the year, we will revise our mediation policy to be more in keeping with best practice and not to use mediation in serious use of force cases. Ensure that CRC may hold hearings on all appeals requested by complainants or police bureau members without delay associated with its impact on civil claims against the city. The auditor and I are committed to making sure that we do not delay any review or hearing based on any civil litigation. Require reporting on reasons for long investigations. The director's report now that I release every month to the Citizen Review Committee details what the stage of all officer-involved shootings investigations are, and we also will report and answer questions on any cases that have significant delays past our benchmarks. And order another expert review of IPR-CRC in 2012. We've just heard the auditor to commit to that. From the structure review of the IPR report that was released in June of 2010, that report included 59 recommendations. Of those 59, only 8 would require a city code change. 13 of those are duplicate. They were also the Police Oversight Stakeholder Committee took 13 of those in their report, and 46 of the 59 have been approved by the auditor and or have been initiated, they're ongoing, or they have been completed by IPR. Of those that require a code change, we've gone through those. It's the same 3 that are duplicate response. Both groups have recommended the same 3. Recommendations from CRC from the CRC work group report that have been accepted and implemented that didn't require a code change: explain IPR's involvement in the review of internal affairs investigations, review the duties and responsibilities of the appeals process advisor to fulfill its requirement to advise complainants and strengthen input for its role. Assistant Director Sevier has worked with the Citizen Review Committee Appeals Committee over several months. They have just finished a protocol change that has significantly enhanced the role of the appeals process advisor, and the auditor approved that, I believe, last month. Determine if an outside agency should be permitted and or provided to be an advocate on behalf of complainants at an appeal. We have been working on this for over a year. We advise complainants that at the point of which we're offering them an appeal, that they can have an advocate from the National Lawyers Guild help them through the process, as well as the APA. So we alert them of that support early in the process, and then we alert the National Lawyers Guild, and we try to connect those two together if they would like to have that assistance. We monitor and report to the CRC cases that have not been appealed but illustrate questionable police responses or possible policy supervision or training failures. Just a few months ago, Police Chief Reese invited the CRC, opened the files to a recent case that got a lot of headlines due to a civil litigation. CRC members reviewed that file, had a public hearing that discussed exactly that, questionable police responses, policy and supervision and training failures, as well as investigation failures. Establish a deadline for processing complaints and clarifying ambiguities in case handling timelines. IPR has released a report about the timeliness of investigations, and we are making substantial changes to our database to ensure that we have more timely case handling. Ensure funding for CRC training. We had a member go to the National Oversight of Law Enforcement training just last just this fall. We also put on the Police Bureau put on a 9-part series for the citizen review members as well as the Police Review Board citizen members to train those folks. The CRC priorities recommended to City Council. The CRC approved 9 priorities to recommend. Of those 9 priorities, 7 were directed at the auditor and IPR, 6 required a change to the city code, and 1 is governed by public records law. Again, it's the same 3 changes. Every group has made the same 3 recommendations, and we have agreed to those. The Albina Ministerial Alliance recommendations that came from September of 2011, those that pertain to police oversight and IPR, there were 7 of those. 2 required changes to the city code, 4 are our current authority, and there is 1 that has partial agreement from the auditor and IPR director. The recommendations that we have implemented, and that is our current authority, is that IPR and CRC must have the authority, staff, and funding to comprehensively review allegations of racial, sexual, socioeconomic, class, ethnic, and other harassment of the public by the Portland Police. Due to the changes that have been made to the city code in March of 2010, IPR has complete access to all cases of administrative investigations, no matter what level of misconduct it is, no matter what the topic is. And if a citizen is involved, no matter who initiates the case, whether it's the Bureau or whether it's IPR, if there is a citizen involved, that citizen, whether they filed a complaint or not, has the right to appeal that, and therefore the CRC will hear it. So that is a sample of the recommendations that were made and that we have completed that wouldn't require a code change, and we wanted to make sure that you knew that there's plenty of things that have gone on and recommendations that have been accepted and work that we've done that you won't see highlighted in a code change, but have certainly made significant shift and great strides in oversight. Thank you.
Discussion with council.
What was the 1 recommendation from the Albina Ministerial Alliance that you said there was partial agreement?
Well, let me get out my...
Okay.
The partial agreement was that IPR and CRC should review and change policies relating to the use of lethal force. Our current authority and practice is that we review closed investigations, and the IPR hires a qualified expert to review those closed investigations. The part of disagreement is it's IPR's role to make recommendation and CRC's role to after you vote on this, hopefully, it will also be CRC's role to make recommendations directly to the Police Bureau to change policy. However, policy decisions are the responsibility of the Chief of Police.
Other initial discussion? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We now will turn it over to public testimony.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have invited the chair, Jamie Troy, chair of the Citizen Review Committee, Jamie Troy, to speak.
Absolutely. Mr. Chair, please come forward. Welcome.
Thanks.
Glad you're here.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council members, members of the public. My name is Jamie Troy. I'm chair of the Citizen Review Committee. It's appointed by Council 2009, I believe, January 2009. I started my learning curve on this lovely oversight process. And I'm here to make a few comments on the recommendations before Council today. I'd like to preface those comments by telling you I'm not currently functioning well. I'm under the influence of cold medicine. So if you throw me too many hard questions, I may fumble with them. In conversations with Mayor Adams related to the stakeholder recommendations that came before council through a collaborative process of many different interested community members, the CRC was tasked with outlining a list of priorities because I think there was a feeling from certain members of the council that there were simply too many recommendations going on all at once, and it was difficult to know how to ferret through those. So the Citizen Review Committee worked together to come up with a list of recommendations, and we prepared and circulated something that's titled a draft memo on CRC priorities recommended to City Council. In case anyone's looking for the final member memo, we never got to that. The draft memo is all that you have. In large part, priority five in that memo had space for us to volunteer language for an ordinance change. As we were not quick on the draw with that, Ms. Baptista and other members of her staff proposed language, which we find to be very helpful to the process. It does clarify current practice going on for appeals at the Citizen Review Committee, including the case file review, which is sort of a pre-appeal process that we have to make sure the review is complete, the investigation is thorough, and members don't have additional questions. I point out to the council that I think that has been a very worthwhile addition to the oversight process. We had a meeting, I believe, last week where we conducted a case file review. We asked for some additional investigation from the Bureau, recommended that they talk to some more civilian witnesses and the attorney representing the complainant, and word has come back to us now that they are indeed reopening that investigation and plan to do further questioning of civilian witnesses before it's ready for an appeal. So I think it's not... I think it's a good addition to the process to make sure that we don't have people coming for an appeal that is not ripe for review. By and large, I think that IPR and CRC have a good working relationship. I think that in the past, CRC has been criticized for being too passive and not taking an active role in the citizen oversight of police. And in my tenure on the committee, I've certainly tried to overcome that impression. There was an expert hired by counsel or IPR or someone to overview the process who conducted a report in January of 2008. Eileen Luna Firebaugh, I'm sure counsel is familiar with her, and she had comments that were less than flattering about CRC and its passivity. I don't think the system would be working effectively if everyone in the system agreed to how it should function. And it is fair to say that IPR and CRC have areas of agreement and have areas of disagreement. And we have had a full opportunity to vet those in private discussions and public meetings. We have had a fair opportunity to discuss them in meetings with members of the public, something that is very much a priority for the committee and something that we are tasked to do. By the council when you appoint us to hear community concerns about police oversight. And so the one area of concern of the nine that I really wanted to point out to council and implore you to reconsider, and something that Mayor Adams knows that I feel strongly about, is the standard of review imposed upon the Citizen Review Committee when we're hearing appeals. The appeals are appeals by typically civilian members who believe they have been aggrieved by some conduct that's taken place with a police official, a member of the Portland Police Bureau, and if they are dissatisfied with the response from the Bureau, they have the right to file an appeal and request that the Citizen Review Committee revisit that decision. As council knows, there are nine of us. It takes a majority vote for any of the police recommendations to be challenged by the Citizen Review Committee, so I think that there are checks and balances within the system that require five of nine of us at a minimum, or I guess a quorum, so four of three, four of seven of us at a minimum to challenge any of the Bureau's recommendations. And at that, I want to note to the council that that in itself is only a recommendation that goes to the police to reconsider whether or not a Bureau member violated Bureau policy or whether or not the Bureau member should have been given a debriefing after found perhaps not to have violated Bureau policy, but not to have handled themselves as well as they could have. The current standard of review is the reasonable person standard, and that is a quite deferential standard. And I don't think there's any real question as to whether or not that's a deferential standard. When we had a committee meeting last week, sorry, I feel like it was last week. I hope it was last week. It was this month. And I asked, thank you, I asked City Attorney Linda Meng whether or not she considered that to be a deferential standard. She agreed it was. The proposal that has come forward is to modify that standard of review from the reasonable person standard to a preponderance of the evidence standard. I think that that is There could be a different way to phrase that. It could be that we're looking at de novo review versus reasonable person standard, because we're talking about an appellate process versus a trial process. And I think that when we've had discussions with certain members of the council, including Mayor Adams, about this standard of review, there is a concern that we are going to be muddling the decision-making process and muddling accountability. And that, I want the council to understand, is not the committee's goal in making this recommendation. We have been tasked with ensuring that there is effective citizen oversight of the Portland Police Bureau. I think that many members of the Police Bureau do an excellent job executing their duties, and they get commendations for that. And I've interacted with many Police Bureau members who do an excellent job, and I think very highly of them. Unfortunately, there are other members of the Bureau who do not behave as well. And I think there needs to be an effective process by which civilians can bring forward their complaints against the Bureau. There is not, in my estimation and listening to public input, there is not complete agreement among the members of the public that the police are effectively policing themselves. And there is some confidence in the fact that you have another bite at that apple. You have a way to have citizens oversee that and determine whether or not police bureau policy was violated. We think, as the members of the Citizen Review Committee, that the deferential standard currently codified under the ordinance is inappropriate, that it is not necessary, that it does not muddle decision-making, and we would encourage the council to discuss that among yourselves, to discuss it with your attorneys. If there are concerns that using a preponderance of the evidence standard is the inappropriate term, the committee would welcome another term. But the bottom line is that the committee views this, what we perceive to be an overly deferential standard, as not necessary, and lessens the effectiveness of citizen oversight in the police oversight system in Portland. Thank you for taking my comments. I'd be happy to answer any questions if the council has any.
I know you put in an enormous amount of time on the Citizens Review Committee. I just wanted to thank you for your leadership as well as for the other members' work on this project.
Thank you.
And I'd like to second that. Appreciate your willingness to take this on and the enthusiasm and time that you've brought to it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll now turn to the sign-up sheet in the order that people signed up.
Okay. We have 19 people who signed up.
Okay.
And the first four, please come on up. Dan Handelman, Dr. Leroy Haynes, Debbie Iona, and Ashley Albitz.
So while they're getting together, I just go over the protocols of the chamber. We work hard to have, I work hard to manage the proceedings so that every point of view feels comfortable stepping forward, signing up, and having their say. So a few things to maintain that sort of fair playing field. There's no clapping, hooting, hollering. There's no noise, burping to signify anything. If you like something, you're welcome to put your hands up. If you don't like something, you're welcome to give the thumbs down. You can also, the variation on that is thumbs up and thumbs down. Point is, we want people of all views to feel comfortable coming up to provide testimony. If you are a registered lobbyist, or if you are certified or are lobbying on behalf of an organization under local law, you need to disclose that. Everyone gets 3 minutes. For organizations that have a long-time track record or individuals that have a long-time involvement with this issue, it is the chair's prerogative to grant more time, and I will do that as necessary. And you can approach me afterwards if you think that I should have given you more time. But it's 3 minutes for everybody. The clock is on that big hunk of wood. It'll count down from three. We only want your first and last name. We do not want your address. We do not want your phone number, just your first and last name. Thank you all for being here. Sir. Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
It's all right.
You will get 10 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mayor Adams. I appreciate that. I am Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I'm also on the steering committee of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. Portland Cop Watch has analyzed many of the mayor, chief, and auditor's responses to over 100 recommendations about changing the police oversight system and 51 proposals for improving police policies. Some of the community demands date back to 2001 and earlier. Amazingly, even though there are over 150 recommendations for changes and improvement, the auditor's proposal contains only 6 changes to the IPR ordinance, only 3 of which were based on community concerns. The mayor and chief claimed to agree with 35 of the 51 policy recommendations, though, as with the police oversight issues, they misinterpret or fail to address parts of the recommendations. The major theme of disagreement is the police bureau's insistence that they need flexibility to use various kinds of force, including multiple taser cycles, unleashing police dogs simultaneously with other force options, and firing beanbag guns from less than 10 feet. Well, here's an analogy. While many people oppose the existence of pornography, society has agreed to tolerate a certain amount of it, so long as it does not involve children. What community members are asking is, we don't want any police violence, but if they're going to use it, there have to be limits. The city insists that IPR and CRC were, in the mayor's word, established to increase the transparency and fairness of the Bureau's complaint handling and discipline processes, not to supplant those processes or relieve the Bureau of the responsibility of holding its own members accountable. We believe the civilian oversight system was set up to supplement the Bureau's processes, not merely to increase transparency and or to review internal affairs investigations. People do not trust a system where police investigate other police. No matter how good it might be, it is fundamentally never going to gain community trust until the system is fixed. Regarding the police oversight stakeholder group, which met from May to September last year under the auspices of Commissioner Randy Leonard and included the auditor, IPR director, and the chief, the mayor and chief disagreed with 19 of 41 recommendations and agreed with just 14. The auditor disagreed with 13 recommendations while agreeing with 16. Among the most significant disagreements is over, as you just heard, the CRC's standard of review. The city insists that the deferential reasonable person standard, which calls on CRC to support the Bureau commander even if they disagree with their findings, must remain in place and that using preponderance of the evidence would, quote, muddle lines of accountability. However, changing the standard to judge whether or not CRC believes an officer was within policy does not take away the commissioner and chief's final decision-making on the finding and any disciplinary action, as the chair just pointed out to you. Also, the auditor's proposed changes. He told me I had 10 minutes.
He is 10 minutes. So.
Also, the auditor's proposed changes do not fix a catch-22 currently built into the system. The current code allows CRC to hear new evidence at its appeal hearings, but not compel testimony. Then it allows city council to compel testimony, but not to hear new evidence. The IPR director has stated she disagrees with the city attorney about the meaning of the language, giving CRC power to hear new evidence. Council should take the chance to clarify this issue, and by which I mean explicitly state CRC's right to hear new evidence, and either give CRC power to compel testimony or give the council ability to hear new evidence. Portland Cop Watch strongly objects to the insertion of the conference committee into the appeals process. Adding this unnecessary step of having the Bureau come back to CRC when they disagree with a proposed finding adds to the length of the process that already takes 2 or 4 years. It also takes away from the strength of the IPR ordinance giving city council the final say on these misconduct cases. In short, the council should also pledge to change collective bargaining agreements to allow IPR to compel officer testimony so they can conduct independent investigations and gain community trust. Support the auditor's efforts for independent legal counsel to avoid conflicts of interest with the city attorney. Broaden the ability of complainants to file appeals with the CRC, since CRC is just now holding its first hearing in 1.5 years. Direct the Bureau to adopt the national standard of 4 categories of findings and a meaningful term for non-disciplinary complaints. Take further steps to increase the transparency of the process with regard to accessing documents and allowing public attendance at meetings on Bureau policies. Increase the size of CRC to encourage more diversity of race, gender, and ethnicity. And direct IPR to take surveys from complainants to better understand what they want from the oversight system. There are other issues we've addressed in our full written testimony. When IPR was created in 2001, the public was told it would be assessed 1 year later. That assessment finally came in January 2008. Then Commissioner Leonard, Auditor Griffin Vallade, and Director Baptista made changes to the IPR ordinance behind closed doors that were passed in March 2010. The stakeholder group was created to ensure that changes to the CRC and further changes to IPR would have community input. To say the least, it is disappointing after a 4-month process by the stakeholder group, 10 years waiting for improvements to IPR and CRC, input from the AMA coalition, multiple reports from the CRC itself, and 1 year waiting to enact the stakeholders' 41 suggestions for change, then only 6 changes are being proposed to the IPR ordinance today. As to Bureau policies, we strongly urge the council to take these actions. And again, I understand they aren't necessarily going to go in the IPR ordinance, but the council could direct these things of the Bureau. Impose restrictions on unreasonable uses of force, such as multiple taser cycles, especially simultaneous application for multiple officers, and releasing police dogs using tasers, shotguns, or batons on mortally wounded subjects. Support the idea of an independent prosecutor for police shootings and deadly force cases, as there's never been an indictment for an officer's on-duty use of force. Encourage the use of an independent medical examiner to conduct autopsies after police shootings to avoid the apparent bias of the medical examiner's office. Have the police review board examine all cases where an injured suspect is transported to the hospital, not only when they are admitted into the hospital. Directly involve community members in forming training protocols. And in light of recent events, re-examine the concept that an officer's mere presence is a low level of force, so that therefore the appearance of officers in riot gear, on horseback, with batons, and threatening the use of chemical agents should not be referred to as peaceful or restrained. Again, there are multiple other issues we have addressed in our longer document. One of the issues that, with the extra time I'd like to add, the AMA coalition was talking about having officers interviewed within 48 hours after a police shooting. And it's been stated by city officials that the police contract, the police association contract, prohibits that and says they have to have a 48 hours warning. Except I have read that contract, and the section that addresses that explicitly excludes shooting cases and cases where there might be criminal conduct. It says except in those cases, they will give them 48 hour notice. So therefore, I would think that means that they can interview them more quickly. One of the issues that is only partially addressed by the auditor's changes is whether or not the Citizen Review Committee can send back cases for further investigation when they get them at an appeals hearing. It's not explicit in the ordinance. It's been used in protocol for years. It was added in under the chair referred to as the case file review section, but is not in the appeals section right now. So as of now, there's still no proposal to assure that the CRC can send back cases for investigation, or for that matter, to ask that the allegations got recategorized. And that's been a problem a few times where they got all the way through the process and they discovered the allegations didn't match actually what the citizen asked in the first place. So those are just a few of the things that should be added to the ordinance in addition to the other things that I'd mentioned. I'm also glad to hear that there may be another external review, because it sounds as though the IPR and the Police Bureau are deciding which of the community's demands have been met. And I think in many cases, they're not exactly what we're asking for. In some cases, I think processes were put in place before we had a chance to finish discussing them. And I do welcome an outside review. And just in terms of the timing of of putting this ordinance forward, I had a couple of theories about why. Maybe some of them are all partially true, some of them are all true, I don't know. The mayor has told us it was in advance of the Department of Justice coming back with recommendations of their own. I don't think that's going to be happening for another 6 months personally, so I don't think that's what it is. I know that the auditor needs to have the 3-year terms put in place before the new members get sworn in February, but that's kind of a couple of months away still. But I'm thinking that maybe the one motivating factor might be the fact that the Frash Hour arbitration is still ongoing, and that you know that this chamber would be packed if Officer Frash Hour gets put back on the police force. But we do appreciate that he was fired. But if the arbitrator overturns it, we're going to have to change more policies and procedures. So we urge council to take more time and do more work rather than accepting this detailed but inadequate report and adopting the auditor's minimal proposed ordinance changes. With so many recommendations, we wish you had given us more time to analyze stuff, but we do thank you for your time.
Well, to be clear, you have all the way up till December 8th.
Great.
Yeah, so you have 4 weeks of active analysis, and I look forward to sitting down with you and others and talking through some of your feedback. If you recall, you took me to task for missing my deadline of last January. So here we are in November. I'm late, but that's the reason. We've had a number of conversations, good transition to our next speaker, with the Albina Ministerial Alliance that I've found to be very useful and very productive. And I want to have these kinds of check-ins. I want the city to have these kinds of check-ins more frequently. We shouldn't have recommendations unanswered going back to 2001. So those are some of the reasons, not the Frash Hour arbitration. Whatever comes out of that, we will respond to. We're defending our position in the Fresh Air arbitration. Sir, given your background on this issue, I guess you get 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yes. How much time would you like?
Just a few extra minutes, okay. Sir. I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, the chairperson of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. To our distinguished Mayor Sam Adams and the illustrious members of the City Council, the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform is thankful for the progress that has been made in responding to our recommendations for changes in police policy and training and independent review of complaints and investigations. We believe that Mayor Adams and Chief Reese have made a good first step in helping to change the Portland Police Bureau and build a better relationship with the community. However, we believe that many of the essential transformative elements to produce qualitative change and long-term change are still left on the table. The Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform is still pushing for its 5 goals, and we have made progress in some of them. One, a federal investigation by the Justice Department that include both criminal and civil rights violation, as well as a federal audit of patterns and practices of the Portland Police Bureau. We thank the city officials for joining in the calling for the investigation, but we felt that there was a need to have an audit that will be more inclusive of all patterns and practices within the Portland Police following the killing of Aaron Campbell in early 2010. Secondly, we believe that strengthening the Independent Police Review Division and Citizen Review Committee with the goal of adding power to compel testimony, and with Councilman Leonard and many others and Salzman participated in that, we thank you for that, but that we still need to go a lot further in giving power. We must understand that the citizens will never accept the police reviewing themselves without an independent agency that they feel that they have a sense of competence and a sense of trust in. Third, a full review of the Bureau excessive force and deadly force policy and training with a diverse citizen participation for the purpose of making recommendation of changes in policy and training. We have made some adequate progress in this with our meetings with the mayor and Chief Reese, but we still have further issues to go on this particular point. For the Oregon State Legislature, narrowing of the language of the state statute for the deadly force used by the police officers, we believe that, and we hope that one day we'll get the support of the city commissioner and promoting that the changes that are needed in the state stature that will help change the use of deadly force. Fifth, we believe that we need to go further than IPR or citizen review, that we need to establish a special prosecutor for the police in excessive force and deadly force case. It's not enough to just have review if we do not have any certain accountability, whether criminal or civic, to take place. And so these are elements that we believe that we along with the great progress that we've made to go along. Finally, we have a great opportunity in this city to change the culture and the practices of the Portland Police Bureau that have created mistrust among the various communities and our citizens. We have a great historical opportunity to create an innovative model of community policing that will produce accountability and community trust. Let us not waste this historical timing and moment. It may be years before it ever come back again. Let us take advantage of this opportunity to produce the necessary changes that are needed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Haynes, have you submitted that in writing?
Yes, I will do that.
Thank you so much. It's very helpful.
Thank you, sir. Hi. Welcome.
Oh. I'm going to actually defer to Ms. Iona. You're going to go first.
Oh, I don't. You can go next.
Okay.
You just write down.
I actually probably need only about 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
My name is Ashley Albies. I'm co-chair of the Portland chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, and I'm also a steering committee member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I was also a member of the work, the stakeholder committee that was convened after the 2010 changes to the ordinance, and that stakeholder committee group was convened with the express purpose to recommend additional changes, and we were told, you know, we were asked to support the 2010 changes and told that we would have a voice in the stakeholder committee. And so a lot of groups and community members supported the changes in 2010 with the expectation that there would be stakeholder recommendations would be seriously considered. At this point, in 2000 as well, the members of the National Lawyers Guild participated under Mayor Katz to produce the report calling for an independent board with subpoena power and the right to recommend discipline, including reviews of deaths in custody. Now, we understand the IPR has the ability to sit in on in-custody deaths, but we are advocating for there to be more independence and that the IPR itself can conduct independent investigations and should be granted the resources to actually perform an independent investigation rather than just being able to sit in and ask certain questions while IAD conducts those investigations. During the stakeholder group that I mentioned in 2010, many of the participants accepted many compromises to arrive at the 41 recommendations and were seriously committed to that process and compromise. So to have only three of those recommendations be what are up in the proposed ordinance change is just disappointing. In addition, I just wanted to add, too, at the outset, when I arrived to testify here today at 2 o'clock, the front door of City Hall was locked, and I was directed to go around the back. The back door was also locked, and I was only let in because I was with Dr. Haynes, and somebody had recognized him and let us in. To me, that's a tremendous problem, and as I look around the council chambers today, I believe there would be a lot more people who would be here to participate and discuss this tremendously important topic today, and there might be more than 19 people signed up to testify today if those front doors had not been locked. They may have been unlocked a short time later, but how many people were turned away that were then denied access to this very important public hearing? I want to echo CopWatch's sentiments and Dr. Haynes' sentiments as well about the important changes that must be made and support the CRC's discussion and request that the overly deferential standard of reasonable person be changed to preponderance of the evidence. In addition, we think that any independent investigatory body needs the power to compel testimony, and we have the city takes the position that it is mandatory bargaining, subject to mandatory bargaining, but we think that it's permissive, and in fact that there is case law that suggests that. And we would urge the city to look again at whether it's permissive or mandatory to compel officer cooperation, because this is a very important part of having independent investigation power.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi. You will get five.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. First, we'd like to thank the mayor, chief, and auditor for their responses to the many recommendations for improvements to our oversight system. Given the large volume, though, we appreciate that there are going to be two more hearings, but would have preferred to see them things split up into subject areas to make for a more probably constructive discussion. The League submitted a detailed letter, and I'll highlight a few of the issues included in it. Public involvement. The League agrees with Chief Reese and the mayor that, I quote, "Thoughtful citizen involvement in public safety is a key component of community policing, particularly when it comes to improving police accountability," end quote. Making appropriate task forces open to public observation would promote thoughtful citizen involvement by giving the public access to the detailed information presented and discussed at those task force meetings. This would result in more informed feedback and likely improve the quality of Bureau reports and recommendations. Providing drafts of Bureau policy changes to the CRC for review would provide another opportunity for thoughtful citizen involvement. The CRC members have extensive knowledge of current policies and their implementation and can provide valuable advice to the Bureau. CRC meetings are open to the public, so community members also would have the opportunity to comment. If time were an issue, consultation with the CRC chair would be an appropriate substitute. Appeal hearings. In addition to providing complainants an avenue for appealing findings in a misconduct case to a trained and informed committee, the hearings contribute to transparency and public understanding of the workings of the Bureau and IPR. They also highlight problematic policies that may benefit from revision. We support the CRC's number one priority to change the standard of review from reasonable person to preponderance of the evidence or some other less deferential standard. The CRC does more than review the quality of investigations. It considers the investigative files and other information brought forward at the hearing, reviews the officer's actions and the related policy directives, and either agrees with or challenges the findings issued by the officer's supervisor. Those who monitor the CRC on a regular basis, and most importantly, the CRC, find the current standard unworkable. The city attorney and CRC leadership should continue the dialogue they started at the last CRC meeting. Common ground may exist, but it will take thoughtful exploration of the nuances of the system and the law to reach a satisfactory conclusion. The dearth of appeals in the last year should lead to serious consideration of increasing opportunities for appeals and instituting the public evaluation by the CRC of problematic closed cases. This would allow the objectives of transparency and policy improvement to continue even when fully investigated complaints are not appealed. Complaint process. Possible findings in misconduct cases should return to those commonly used in other agencies. The findings were changed several years ago without consultation with the CRC or the public. The currently used unproven finding eliminates the distinction between unfounded and insufficient evidence and has resulted in confusion at appeals hearings. The complaint process would be less onerous if IPR provided a copy of the police report. Currently, it must be purchased from the Bureau, and this can be intimidating for some. There are issues with public records laws, but the Bureau and IPR should try to implement this. Government gets a bad name when it makes processes more complicated than they need to be. Finally, nationally recognized experts inspired a number of the recommendations forwarded by the community and not supported by the city. Examples include limiting taser use, revision of the medical treatment directive to require provision of medical aid as soon as possible,